All right, so we're going to open this meeting and establish a quorum. Do roll call. Carol Sanford, present. Claudette Dick, present. Mike Malloy,
present.
John Dortch,
present.
And Barbara Wilbrand. But I'm sure Barbara will be joining us shortly. So we have one person absent, but we do have a quorum. So now we're going to go into staff introductions, and Mr. Brown, we're going to start with you.
Board President, I think we want to do the pledge first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself. There you go. All right, so let's do the pledge. Can I ask Claudette to do that, please? And everyone else with the
Please place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Claudette.
You're welcome.
All right, so I had gotten a little ahead of myself. So now we'll go into staff introduction. Mr. Brown.
Well, thanks very much, President Stanford. Good morning, Board. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Welcome, Mr. Brown. Jerry Vincent.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good morning, Board and Staff. Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Good to hear from you, too, Jerry. All right, school staff.
Good morning, Adele. Lindsay Reed, Area Superintendent.
Hi, Lindsay.
And Jenna Eunice, Principal, and I am also here with Wendy Uribe. She's our school psychologist and will be presenting as part of my principal's board report today.
That's great. Anybody else? School Legal Counsel.
Yes, good afternoon. Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
All right, and any advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Good morning, Board. This is Kelly Wall. It's with your finance.
And good morning, this is Michelle Lopez, Council with LLAC.
Okay, anybody else? Any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right, so welcome to everybody this morning. We're now going to go to agenda 1E.
Barbara Willebrand.
Hold on, Barbara Willebrand is giving me a little call here. Hold on. Hi, Barbara. Can you not get on?
Yes.
You can't get in?
Nope.
Bill, can you call Barbara and have her go through your phone?
I'd be happy to do that. I'll call you right now, Barbara.
Okay, Barbara.
Bye. Bye.
All right, we took care of that. Easy peasy. Okay, so now we're on 1E. Adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, President Stanford and Board members. Please refer to your board package for the resolution for continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 allows boards to continue to meet remotely during states of emergency as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Can I have a motion and a second to approve 1E?
Claudia Beck will make a motion to approve 1E.
Mike Malloy will second.
All right, so Claudette Beck's motion, Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Wilbrand. And Barbara's connecting. Is she not connected yet, Bill? They're working on it. Okay, so we have four for it and one that is absent. So it is passed. So we're now on 1F.
Board President. I'm sorry, I was on mute because I was talking to Barbara. She said aye. Barbara, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we got that.
All right. Thank you.
So it is unanimous that 1E has passed. So we'll put that in a minute. 1F, approve agenda for the directors for the December 9, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. So I need a motion and a second to approove 1F.
John Dortch, move.
Claudia Beck second.
So John Dorch has moved. Claudia Beck seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand? Bill?
Did you get Barbara?
I didn't hear Barbara.
I said aye.
Okay,
good. All right, so what?
Yeah.
1F has been approved unanimously. I'll listen better, Barbara. I will. 1G, approved minutes of the October 26, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read this. If there are corrections or comments, please do. Otherwise, I need a motion and a second to approve 1G.
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Claudia Beck second.
So Mike Malloy has moved. Claudia Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
We heard you. All right. It's unanimous. 1G has been approved. So now we're on to 1H. Approved minutes of the November 16, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And again, if there are any corrections or comments, please do so at this time. Otherwise, I need a motion and a second to approve 1H.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve 1H.
Mike Malloy, second.
Claudia Beck has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1H has been approved unanimously. So now we're on to consent items. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. This is A, consent agenda items 1 and 2. The board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan on pages 27 through 217. And 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for virtual instruction, an addendum to the school's health and safety plan, on pages 218 through 250. Are there any board members who would like to table or discuss this right now? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 2 consent items, A, 1, and 2?
I think I'll make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
John Dorch, second.
Claudia Beck has moved. If motion, John Dorch has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So two consent items A, 1, and 2 have been approved unanimously. So now we're on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or clicking the web link listed on the poster agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it's the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public right now that would like to introduce themselves or make a comment? If not, Jeff, has anyone contacted you from the public?
Good morning, President Stanford. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President of Charter Relations, reporting that there were no written submissions for public comment or requests to speak via the email posted on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. This is Principal Update, Jenna.
Hello, board members and guests at Mission Academy. So I'd like to highlight a few things in the board report for December. So for this board report, I combined our learning periods 4 and 5 as far as enrollment and academic performance data. A couple of things to highlight. We have 16 graduates for this school year in our 12th grade cohort, and those are students who have graduated from August 16th through today. To note is that we have an upcoming graduation ceremony. We have a ceremony on Thursday, January 19th, at the Croc Center in Central San Diego at 5 p.m. And this will actually be our first in-person graduation in
couple years, we are going to partner with some of the Learn for Life site-based school programs in that area and invite some of our graduates. We do have some RSVPs, and we're very excited to once again host a cap and gown stays ceremony for them. We're also doing a virtual graduation in February, as is and has been our tradition. So for any students who are unable to travel to San Diego from the Los Angeles or Mission Academy area, we will host a virtual graduation as well. And we will make sure, of course, that all board members and educational partners get their invitation. Recently, our school team has been doing quite a bit of professional development. We attended a leadership transformational school and district leader workshop as a team of about 10 leaders now in Mission Academy, and we have grown quite a bit since the beginning of the school year. We also attended a workshop from Stephen Covey on leading on with the speed of trust using grant funding through the professional development grants that we were able to so generously receive from the state this year. And we are consistently, reviewing how we can improve school culture, define roles and responsibilities for our school staff and team members, provide our students and our staff with high support, and also hold them accountable for, improved student learning. So we're seeing a lot of positive results. I really wanted to highlight some of the graphs or include the graphs in this board report because you can see the positive trend in our enrollment as well as our utilization for our average daily attendance for the last 5 LPs, learning periods, and then also our activity averages. So that's actually the amount of work our students are doing in their course management system online. And so on average, our students started doing 17 and now they're up to 22, 23. And there's a little bit of data missing there, but we're seeing really positive trends, and we're seeing that when we hold a high bar for students, they're able to rise and to meet that expectation while also still, of course, meeting students where they're at and providing the social emotional support for them. I do have a student success story here that I highlighted for you, and I'd love to have you read that at your leisure. I may have a speaker next month to talk about Victor, who's one of our dual enrollment students. But today I have Wendy Uribe, our school psychologist, and I'd love for her to share a little bit about some of the success stories she's seen in working with our special education and students with disabilities population. So Wendy, I'll go ahead and turn the floor over to you.
Okay, thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm going to switch. I took a couple of notes just to keep myself on track. I'm a school psychologist. To explain my role within the school, or part of my role, I do evaluation. So I do the testing and evaluation to see whether students qualify for an IEP. And I also do a lot of the mental health. So whether that's individual counseling or consultation, I'm a part of that. And so I have just, I'll share briefly a success story from three of my students, which is amazing. And so first I want to explain, because I know when you see statistics, you don't necessarily see the individual story behind these students. You might see a student who has an IEP, but that doesn't tell you everything. So I just want to highlight how far these students have come and how amazing it is that we have one of them that's graduated and two more that are within 10 credits of graduating. And it's phenomenal. So the first student, I'm not going to share any personal details, sensitive information, but just to share a little bit of the background, the first student, I actually did their evaluation. Their first evaluation when they were 16, almost 17. This student had previously attended a private school, and so with private schools, they don't have to follow the laws that public schools do for referring for special education. So when I first came across this student, they were actually in a rehabilitation center that we partner with. So we know that there was difficulties with substance abuse. But when I looked at the students, their grades were great. It seemed like everything was fine. But once I got talking to parents and doing the evaluation, this student not only had what we call a specific learning disability, so that's like a processing area that can kind of it can impact learning. They also had what's called emotional disturbance. I like to refer it as emotional disability. I don't like the term emotional disturbance. But they have been essentially passed from grade to grade to grade and given good grades, but still felt completely lost, struggled with a mood disorder, struggled with hospitalization, struggled with substance abuse. And so by the time parents got to us, they just didn't know what to do. You know, even when we did the initial evaluation and they qualified, they struggled quite a bit because there was a lot of reading comprehension issues. They were hospitalized several times throughout the process, and now they are 18 and they've graduated. And we just, it's amazing to see the journey from when you first see these students to graduation and how much growth there was and how much they had to overcome to get there, and just are amazing staff. And in fact, these parents don't live anywhere near San Diego, but they are so excited to see their child graduate. They're going to be traveling to the in-person graduation. And then my next two students, I have been working with this student since I started the Mission Academy, so they were here before I started. And this student struggled with previous bullying, significant mood disorder, also has a diagnosis of autism, had some pretty severe behaviors in the past, so significant that they had to go to a group home and live. When I started working with them, they had started making progress in this area, but there was so much stress and anxiety surrounding school that they would, when they thought about doing school, whenever I would ask how school was, that I would hate school. I hate doing everything about school. And this one, even just a year ago, I wasn't sure when we were going to get close to graduation because they would have meltdowns when it came to doing schoolwork. And they were 18 and being closer to 19 now. And just the, you know, again, through working with our amazing staff, through being able to work at their own pace, through having the individualized care that we can provide, the students now at 10 credits, and every time we talk every week, I tell them, I can't believe how much you've grown, and they're still a little bit shy about accepting positive. But again, it's just very amazing. And then my third student came to us when they were 18, had pretty significant depression, severe depression, previous hospitalization. This student, for a while, every time we talked, it was kind of a safety talk. I had to make sure the student was safe because the depression was so significant. And this was a student that me and his manager just, in that we racked our brain on what are we going to do with this student? The student is very intelligent. So the student's cognitive and processing scores were high. Their NWEA scores were some of the highest I've seen. So it wasn't an intelligence issue. And it was just so frustrating to figure out what can we do for the student. The student also has lost both of their parents. They're not in the student's life. They have a somewhat stable home environment living with a grandparent, but not too stable. They're in a very remote location, so options for schools, it's very limited. And, you know, I've been working with a student for 2 years, and I worked with the case manager. Again, I want to give so much credit to our teachers. They worked so hard to think of those different ideas. And finally, we got the student on board, and they're within 10 credits of graduating. And, you know, these are just three stories. I apologize I didn't go too in-depth or if I talk too fast. But just the importance of what a program like ours can offer because sometimes students don't do well in a traditional in-person setting for one reason or the other. And generally, by the time they get to me and they get my services, it's even more of a risk factor. When I started at this job, not this job, but previously at another Learn for Life site, I never saw any of my students graduate. And I saw them make progress, but then when I started with Mission Academy, I got to start seeing some of my students, the ones that I provide counseling to, graduate. And it's just increased each year. So I think what, you know, our team has been able to provide these students is just, it's amazing. So those are my success stories, and I'm so excited to see them walk across the stage, one this January, and the others I know are going to be done by this summer, and I'm just going to sit there and cry like a baby. So and that's all I have. If we have any questions.
Thank you, Wendy, and thank you for being here. You know, I love hearing the authenticity of the struggle in Wendy's voice, and being a school principal, right, and then being a superintendent or a board member or a, you know, a community partner, we're sometimes removed from the work, the direct work with the students. And thank you for sharing both the challenges and the success. And you know, I do want to share. These are three students who have achieve success, and we hope that they're prepared for life success. We did recently lose one of our students who was with a partner recovery program to a fentanyl overdose. There, and I'm attending a service there next week, and so it's the work that we do. I hope I've expressed how important it is to me, and the work that we do, that Wendy does, and that Lindsay supports, and that all of you, you know, support is so, so, so important. You know, there are two sides to every coin, and, you know, it's beautiful when we see that success, and so thank you so much, Wendy, for sharing today, and thank you, everyone, for supporting our program and for these students, because these are, you know, real people, thank you so much. That concludes my report.
This is Board President Stanford. That was really moving, and Wendy, if you just save one, it's just amazing, and here you've got three different kids that are going forward, so thank you so much, and we appreciate everything you do. Any other comments from the board members?
This is quite effective. Yeah, I think it's just great that that we do have the support, and thank you very much, Wendy, for presenting those things to us, because we have no way of knowing unless we hear from you and other staff on what's really going on with the kids. So thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. We lost a family member about a year ago, and he struggled with drugs for years and mental. So, Wendy, you are just absolutely doing a phenomenal job, and my heart just goes out to what you do. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to B, finance update. This is Gita.
Hello, board. This is Claudio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm really happy to speak on behalf of Gita today. She's not available. Please refer to page 252 of the package. The line of credit update is for board reference, and it has a different look compared to prior updates. So this time, the update includes the line of credit with Hamney Bank and with LLAC. The update with of Hamney Line is updated to October 31st and includes the line approved for the school for $1 million and the current rate of the line at 7.5% right now. This rate increased from the prior update from 6.75% to 7.5% because it's based on the prime rate that went up 0.75% in this period. The update shows the current borrowing level, zero at this moment. It includes the expiration date of the line on November 3rd, 2023, and also shows the calculation of the school's covenant ratios required to maintain the line in good standing and in compliance with the line of credit agreement. The second portion of the update shows the current status of the line with LLAC approved as the promissory note. The current rate is at 4% and the borrowed balance is zero at this point. So that concludes my update. And if you have any questions, I will be happy to answer them.
Thank you so much. Any comments from the board members? All right. We're going to move on then to 4C, Annual Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, LLAC Service Report. Oh, you know what? We're not going to do that until next month, so we'll pass that one. That'll happen again in January. So now we're going to go into our public hearing, and I'm going to need a motion and a second to go into open our public hearing.
Better back, I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
All right, so Claudette Beck has motioned. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy? Mike Malloy, are you on mute? Okay, John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we have four to go into public hearing and one, oh, is that him? Okay. Was that you, John? All right, anyway. So we're going into
public.
All right, we have one that was absent. And so now everyone, so it's unanimous, we're going into public hearing. Let's see. I lost my paper here, hold on.
Board President, just to clarify, was that Mike Malloy back with us? Did he say aye?
I don't believe that he did. I don't believe he's back yet. Mike Malloy, are you here? I'm sorry, but I said unanimous.
Okay, thank you.
I got him mixed up with John George for a second. All right, so we have four people that are going into, and Mike Malloy is absent. All right, the public hearing is now open at 11:58. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during the hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, President Stanford. Excuse me. For the board's reference, please see pages 294 through 302 in your board packet. The purpose of this public hearing is to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding our personalized learning policy. A redlined copy of the revised policy is provided in your board package and reflects changes required by Assembly Bill 740, which was signed by the governor on September 18th of this year and will go into effect on January 1st, 2023. You will see that Section 2.7 of the policy concerning involuntary removal procedures has been revised to extend parental rights and notification requirements affecting homeless, foster, or Indian children or youth to that student's educational rights holder, social worker, or tribal or county social worker as applicable during any involuntary removal process. We have already begun working with our counseling support team to implement these new procedures and requirements so that we are prepared for the January 1st due date. Does the board or any members of the public have questions or comments on the revised personalized learning policy? All right. And this concludes my presentation on the revised personalized learning policy for the 22-23 school year. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on revised personalized learning policy. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comments? Are there any members of the public who submitted written comments to the board? Jeff.
Good afternoon, President Stanford. This is Jeff Martineau reporting that there were no written submissions for public comment or requests to speak via the email posted on the agenda. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So now I need a motion and a second to close our public hearing.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Mike Malloy, second.
All right. So Claudia Beck has motioned. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
So it is unanimous that we're closing our public hearing. The public hearing is now closed at 12 o'clock. And so now we are going to go into six action items. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2022 annual audit report for the school. And this is Gita. Actually, this is not Gita. This is
Claudia.
Right.
Thank you, board. Claudia again.
Okay.
For the annual audit, I would like to introduce Brian Hadley, CPA, partner of Wilkins & Hadley King & Company, a CPA firm. He is online with us and will go over the school's annual audit. You can find the report in your packet on pages 254 through 292. So please, Brian, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Brian Hadley, and I'm a partner with Wilkinson Hadley King & Company, and I'd like to give you a brief overview of the financial statements, and then if you have questions at the end, I'd be happy to answer those questions. I'd like the board members to know that Wilkinson Hadley King & Company is an approved CPA firm. It's approved by both the California Department of Education and the State Comptroller's Office to provide audit services for California K-12 educational organizations. I'm going to refer to pages in the audit report, and when I'm referring to them, they're the audit report pages, not the pages in your board packet. If you turn to page two of the audit report, I'm sorry, page one of the audit report, this is the executive summary. The executive summary is written by management, and it gives the readers of the financial statements the opportunity to, it gives management the opportunity to tell readers of the financial statements about the school, about the mission of the school, and about any other items that the management would like to communicate to readers of the financial statements. If you turn to page number two of the financial statements, this is the independent auditor's report. This looks different than you've seen in prior years. The American Institute of CPAs changed the format and they moved the opinion up. It's in the second paragraph that's highlighted up there. It says, and in part that reads, in our opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the school as of June 30th, 2022. This is an unmodified accountant's opinion. That's the opinion that you want to have because it says that, you know, Without hesitation, without modification, the CPAs can say that the financial statements fairly present the financial position of the school. If you turn to page four, this is the statement of financial position. That's what it's called for a nonprofit entity. For a for-profit entity, it would be the balance sheet. It lists the assets and liabilities of the school. It lists what you own, the assets that you own. And it lists the amounts that you owe other people, the liabilities. You can see that the total assets are $2.6 million and the total liabilities are $1.2 million. The largest assets are cash and accounts receivable. If you take the current assets, and that is the cash and other assets that are going to be converted to cash within the next 12 months, and divide that by the total the current liabilities are those liabilities that are going to be paid off within the next 12 months. You get a current ratio that's 2.1. You know, you're looking for that's a very good current ratio. You're looking for a current ratio of between 1.2 and 2, and you're even over the 2 mark. And that indicates the school has liquidity and will be able to pay the liabilities that are going to be required to be paid in the next 12 months. The excess of assets over liabilities is called total net assets, and that number is $1.4 million, $1,415,935. And of that amount, $322,000 is restricted for certain state programs, and we'll talk about that just a little bit later. If you turn the page to page number five of the audit report, this is the statement of activities for-profit situation, it would be the income statement. But you can see in the middle of the page in the far right-hand column, the total revenue support and gains of the school was $7.8 $1,000. The largest component of that, obviously, is the local control funding formula that you receive from the state, consisting of state aid, the education protection accounts, state aid, and property taxes. And those three items make up $6 million of the total revenue of $7.8 million. The total expenditures are just broken down into two broad categories, program service expense and supporting service expense, and they total $7.2 million. And so the excess of the revenue over the expenditures for the year is called the change in net assets, and that is $646,324. If you turn the page to page number six, this schedule provides a additional breakdown of the of what makes up those expenditure amounts. And you can see that the total expenditures were $7.2 million. And it's of note that the program service expenses are $6.651 million of the total. And so that what that means is, and what the schedule shows, is that 91% of your total expenditures are being spent on providing education to students, while only $573,000 is being spent on management and general expenses. If you turn to page number eight, there's a diagram in the page, but I'd like the board to know that Mission Academy is one of three charter schools operated by Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. We also audited Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc., and there were no findings on that audit report. If you now turn to page 13 of the audit report, this is in the footnotes section. And let's kind of start with footnote C that talks about cash and cash equivalents. So these footnotes provide additional information about the items that were reported on the statement of financial position and the statement of activities that we previously talked about. So if you want to know what makes up the cash amount that was reported there, you can see that there was cash in the county treasury of $752,000 and $1.219 million of cash in bank accounts. If you turn the page to page number 14, there's a footnote D, that talks about what makes up the accounts receivable. You can see that the total accounts receivable were $532,000, and the biggest receivables were some federal program for special education, and also the state program for special education. But these footnotes provide additional detail about the amounts that were provided in those summarized financial statements that we previously talked about. If you turn to page number 16, there is one footnote I'd like you to focus on for a moment. It's footnote J, the one that talks about restricted net assets. So this schedule shows grant money that's been received that is restricted to be spent on these grants only. So this $322,000 can only be spent on the grants that they're categorized under. They can't be spent on other programs or other programs to supervise. They can only be spent on these grants. There are two new grants this year, the A to G Access Grant, the A to G Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. These grants are intended to provide money to high school students so that they can graduate with a high school diploma and fulfill certain course requirements. If you now turn to page 19 of the financial statements, this is under the section of the audit report that's called supplementary information. These statements are not required by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. They're required by the State Controller and the California Department of Education. The first one is just an organization structure that lists the governing board and the administration. If you turn to page number 20, this is an important schedule. It reports the average daily attendance of the school for the year. Now, for this audit year, you were paid based on the prior year ABA, but, you know, in future years, it's going to go back to where you're paid on average daily attendance. So this schedule is what you get allocated money from the state. And you can see that there's 522.97 total non-classroom-based ABA for the second period attendance report. And that's the one that's used for funding. The reason that I wanted you to look at this is you can see that there's a revised column for both of the second period and the annual period report that's marked not applicable. And the reason it's marked not applicable is we didn't find any discrepancies between what was reported to the state that was calculated by the school and what we calculated after our audit procedures. And I attribute that partially to the fact that the school employs technicians that review the teacher's attendance work every learning period so that all of the attendance that the teachers allocate for completed independent study assignments is captured and is reported on this, is reported as attendance to the state so that you can get paid the maximum amount that you've earned. You know, the other items in that supplementary section, for example, if you turn to page number 21, or just other schedules that they require, you'll see that most of the items, like on schedule 21, the schedule of instructional time are marked not applicable. And that's because this schedule doesn't apply to an independent study-based school, but you have to have it in there. You have to have these required schedules in the audit report, or the state controller won't certify your report. The last thing I'd like you to look at is page number 31. It's the schedule of auditor's results. It lists the type of auditor's report that was issued, and as I said before, you had an unmodified opinion. But this schedule also shows whether there were any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies identified in the audit, and there were none. And what that means is that in our testing, we did not see items where you were not following your own internal procedures for both financial statement purposes and state compliance purposes. And so that's what this schedule reports. There were also no financial statement findings and no findings from the prior year that needed to be resolved and reported on. And so that concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if the members of the board have questions.
Thank you, Brian, so much. This is Board President Stanford, always comprehensive, and it makes it so much easier for us to understand. We appreciate your coming and sharing this with us. Any comments from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6A?
Michael, I make a motion.
Brian will second.
We got a lot of seconds. All right. See if I can get this right. Mike Malloy's motion. Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dortch,
aye.
Barbara Wilfred,
aye.
So 6A has been approved unanimously. On to 6B. The board will be asked to review and approve the revised personalized learning policy. This is Lindsay Reed.
Thank you again. If there are no further questions, we would recommend that the board approve the revised personalized learning policy as presented during our public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. We love your background, by the way. All right. I need a motion and a second for 6B.
John Dortch move. Mike Malloy is second.
John Dortch is moved. Mike Malloy is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dortch,
aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand,
aye.
6B has been approved unanimously. We're now on 6C. The board will be asked to discuss and approve the Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant Plan. This is Joy Taylor.
Actually, unfortunately, Joy is out sick today, so I will be presenting in her place. So thank you very much, President Stanford. The Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant is one-time funding through the 25-26 school year. Mission Academy has been allocated $348,338. The funds may be used for five specific areas. Number one is to obtain standards-aligned professional development and acquire instructional materials in core subject areas, visual and performing arts, world languages, ethnic studies, and or computer science. Number two is to obtain instructional materials and professional development aligned to best practices for improving school climate, including training on de-escalation and restorative justice strategies, as well as digital literacy. Number three is to develop diverse book collections and obtain culturally relevant texts, including level texts in both English and pupils' home language to support independent reading. Funds may also be used for researching and purchasing culturally relevant novels and textbooks and culturally relevant texts for students in their native language to encourage independent reading. Number four, it can be used for operational and healthcare costs, specifically nutrition services, furniture and technology upgrades, healthcare costs, et cetera. And finally, number five, these funds can be used for COVID-19 costs, such as protective equipment, masks, cleaning supplies, COVID-19 tests, ventilation upgrades, and other similar expenditures with the intent of keeping students, staff, and our guests safe. Once again, the funds shall be available through the 25-26 fiscal year. This concludes my presentation of the Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant. Does the board have any questions or comments?
Thank you so much. Any comments from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6C?
Rebecca, make a motion to approve.
Barbara Willebrand will second.
Claudette Beck has motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right. Did I get everybody? I ran right.
John Dorch, aye.
John Dorch, aye. Okay, so it's unanimous that we approve 6D. I knew I did that. All right. So now we're on 6D. The board will be asked to approve the 22-23 first interim report. And this is Claudio.
Thank you. Good afternoon again. Please refer to your packet pages 310 through 317. You will find 162 from the California Department of Education. We also provide a supplemental report in your packet that compares original budget versus year-to-date actuals. If you have any questions on that, I can address them at the end of my presentation. The first interim report is the first financial report of the fiscal year and shows the financial condition of the school after the first 4 months of operation from July 1st through October 31st. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial section includes original budget approved by the board in June in column A, the revised budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals today in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial section also provides projection of the school reserves and its components at year end. We will start with the average daily attendance. In the last section of the report on page 317 of the package, the bottom half of the form A shows the ADA used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the revised budget and projected year-end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 800 and is currently projecting a funding ADA of 1,187, a noticeable increase of 387 ADA that has a positive impact in funding sources based on current year ADA. Let's now review revenue and expenditures on the first page of Form 62, page 310 of the package. In the report, column A shows the original budget approved in June. Column B shows the proposed revised budget that includes revisions to projected ADA, revenue, and expenditures. Column C shows actuals year-to-date, and column D shows projections for year-end that match the proposed revised budget in column B. On the revenue side, the school is projecting total revenue of $18.2 million. This is $7.4 million higher than the school's original budget. This item on LCFS sources, it shows a visible increase in projected revenue of $5.6 million compared to original budget. This is due to the increase in projected funding ADA, an ECOLA increase of from 6.56% to 12.84% that impacted the base supplemental and concentration portions of the funding. On the second line, federal revenue, it shows the same level of funding at $45,000 with no projected change at any individual funding from federal source. The third line, other state revenue, shows a significant increase of from $854,000 to $2.6 million. That comes primarily from the recognition of two restricted multi-year state grants that were not available at the time of the original original report was developed. The first one is Arts and Music Block Grant for $348,338. All of those funds will be dispersed and recognized as revenue in the coming year. 50% of the funding will be dispersed in a few days and 50% will be dispersed in April. This fund will be available for expenditures through year 25-26. The second one-time grant is Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant in the amount of $930,423, and all funds will also be dispersed and recognized in current year. 50% of the funding was dispersed in late November, and the remaining 50% will be dispersed in May. This fund will be available for expenditures through year 26-27. On the expense side, the school is projecting total expenditures for $16.2 million, showing an increase of $6.7 million compared to original budget. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the new one-time restricted grants and an expansion of existing instructional spending due to the increase of ADA and available funding. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $4.1 million or 67% due to an increase in most certificated and classified instructional and administrative salaries and a small decrease in classified support salary. Projected totals for purchases increased 82% from $946,000 to $1.7 million, due primarily to an increase in school instructional supplies, equipment spending, and equipment spending. Projected operating expenses increased 68% from $2.3 million to $3.9 million, and includes an increase in professional services and similar spending levels in communications and training. After current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is anticipating an excess revenue of $1.9 million. The net position section in the first page, at the bottom part of the page, shows a beginning net position of $1.4 million. With a projected excess revenue of $1.9 million, the school will end up year 22-23 with a projected net position of $3.4 million. Of this total reserve, $58,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal years according to the restricted grants plans. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $3.3 million will be equal to 20% of total annual expenditures. And that concludes my report. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to discuss.
Thank you so much, Claudio. Any questions or comments from the board members? All right. If not, can we have a motion and a second to approve 6D?
Father Beck will make a motion to approve.
Father Willebrand will second.
Father Beck has motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Michael Loy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6D has been approved unanimously. We're now on 6E. The board will be asked to approve the revised financial reserve plan. This is Lindsay.
Thank you again, President Stanford. For the board's reference, please see page 319 in your board packet. As you know, the establishment of funding and financial reserves is essential to the long-term health and stability of our school. Financial reserves are needed to manage revenue shortfalls, unexpected costs, and economic uncertainty. Financial reserves also help us save for large purchases and reduce the cost of borrowing money. Mission Academy currently has a financial reserve of 15.14%. This is within the 10% to maximum 20% of total expenditures as approved in our financial reserves policy. The following is our plan to continue using internal controls to improve or maintain our reserve funds. Number one, we will continue adhering to staffing ratios for both certificated and classified staff. Employee backfills will only be approved based on need and budget. Number two, periodic review of contracted services expenses to eliminate waste and overspending. Number three, we will continue working on increasing enrollment by diversifying outreach to rural communities within the counties that we serve. Number four, we will increase enrollment by promoting and recruiting for summer intersession. Number five, we will increase student average daily attendance as measured per learning period and annually. Number six, we will provide professional development to the team to enhance student retention. And finally, number seven, there will be an annual review of our marketing plan to diversify and improve outreach. This concludes my presentation on the financial reserves plan. Does the board have any questions or comments for me?
Thank you so much, Lindsay. Any questions from the board for Lindsay? All right. If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6E? Okay, I'm going to go with John Dorch and then Claudette Beck seconding, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so John Dorch is moved, Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Beloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6E has been approved unanimously. We are now on 6F. The board will be asked to review and approve Wilkinson, Hadley & King & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's 2021 Form 990, Return of Organizational Exempt from Income Tax. And this is Claudia.
Thank you. Hello, board, again. I would like to direct your attention to the engagement letter in your packet pages 321 and 322 from Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, to prepare the fiscal year ended June 30, 2022, Federal Return of Organization Exempt from Income Tax Form 990, related federal statements and schedules, and the California Exempt Organization Annual Information Return Form 199 with related statements and schedules. As Brian Hadley just mentioned, Wilkinson, Hadley & King & Company is listed under the California Department of Education and California Controller's Office as an approved auditor. As noted on page 2 of the engagement letter, the preparation fee is $1,300 for the corporation. I would like to recommend to the board Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's 2021 990 and other related tax forms and documents.
Thank you, Claudio. We really like it that we have them both do our audits and also our income tax. It keeps us kind of cohesive. Any comments from the board? Can I have a motion and a second to approve 6F?
Mike Beloy, make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand will second.
Okay, so Mike Beloy has motioned. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Beloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Well, 6F has been approved unanimously. Thank you so much, Claudio. So now we are on 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown?
Well, good afternoon, President Stanford and board. I'm delighted to have this opportunity. I do want to thank Superintendent Lindsay Reese for providing us with her principal, Jennifer, and psychologist Wendy. I'll get into that in a moment, but we're getting back to an in-person graduation. That will be in January, and I'm going to make every attempt I can to get to San Diego and see these graduations. It's so fulfilling to me to watch what happens when you do it. Professional development programs, real good, especially when you have good speakers. Well, Ivan and Corey, those people really present really wonderful programs for our staff to look at. Comets set the bar high. Yeah, you set the bar high and they will achieve it. A lot of times it's going the other way. Oh, let's make it easier so we can graduate these students. psychology, so that's not easy work, and you have to analyze and analyze. You have to work with each student. You have to work with each particular problem. Each one's a little different. And your success story, getting to watch the graduation, that's got to be really wonderful for you, and I congratulate you for that, and working with the other two youngers. A terrible, terrible loss to lose a student for absolutely no reason at all. We really have to kind of work on that and try to get these young people to know that there's other ways to go. You want to join a gang? Join the Mission Academy gang. It's really a great gang to belong to. So I do appreciate that. Claudio, great report. Thank you so much for providing the financial report. It's always good to hear as superintendent said, but it's nice to have them at our back. So thank you so much. Now back to you, President Stanford.
Thank you so much. Jerry, that's it.
Thank you, President Stanford, and Mr. Brown does such a great job with his comprehensive review. There's only a thing or two I'd like to add, and Lindsay and Jenna, I want to commend you on the successes, the improvements in this program under your purview. Your academic programs are improving and improving. They're successful. The growth in enrollment and the fiscal improvements that you've made are really noticeable. So your hard work and diligence does not go unseen. And so we applaud you and, of course, your entire staff for that. And, Ford, I just thank you for your oversight of the school and just knowing that good decisions are being made by good decision makers. Thank you.
This is Ford, President Stanford. Lindsay, we have all been through so much together over the years and see all this growth. And I have a granddaughter who has a degree in psychology, and she's working on a master's towards a doctorate or something. But I hope she grows up to be you. I love what you're doing. It's just like where we want to go. We want to help people. And you're doing it, so thank you. Everybody who gave a report today, everybody in the background, thank you so much. Other board members, any comments you have to make?
But Rebecca, I just want to say, Lindsay, Jenna, Wendy, everyone, I mean, you know, they love that, and Jeff and Jerry have said it, you too, Carol, but, you know, we really do appreciate you guys, and keep on going.
Anybody else? All right. If not,
Barbara wanted to say something.
Go, Barbara.
And Paulson and Jenna for their presentations tonight. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Any other board members? If not, we're going to go to 8, our closing item. Our next regular board meeting date is January the 6th, 2023 at 10:30. And I'd like to have a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Tender a second.
Claudette Beck is motion. John Dorch is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Wildman?
Aye.
So wishing you all a Merry Christmas. We'll see you at our next meeting.
Bye. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you.